Tonight's teaching is going to be the dismantling of pseudo-Christianity. And pseudo means false Christianity. And so what we'll see is a huge amount of what is actually taught is not Christianity. And it shouldn't really surprise us when Yahushua went into Judea and Galilee, a great percentage of what they were teaching was not Moses,
yeah,
or the prophets. Mm-hmm. If they knew Moses and the prophets, they would have known that this is the Messiah. And instead, mm-hmm, they killed the Messiah because they knew more of the doctrines of men. And actually, who else was really a fool was the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. And so here's somebody who studied all the ways of man. Mm-hmm. So much so that Isaiah 53, you know, with Christ being sacrificed was not there. Psalms 22 was not there. All these things that you actually miss. So we're going to begin with our own corrupting process. And what we're going to show with our family is words. And there's two meanings to words in our society we've got to realize. There's the vulgar meaning and there's the true meaning. And so true meaning always goes back to its root. The vulgar, what most people think vulgar means?
Crude. Dirty words.
No, it's not. It, vulgar, that's when it's lost its meaning, yeah, and that's the vulgar usage of vulgar. Mm-hmm. Vulgar means common.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me just show you a little etymology of what words actually mean, how far off we are in our communication. And then we'll relate that to the word Yahweh. Addicted means to say or bound. To be addicted means to say. Argument means made clear or prove. Mercenary is a hireling. Apology means defend. Adore means to speak. Instinct means to instick. Nature means birth or born. Advertisement means turn towards. Awesome means fearsome. Furniture means to furnish. So actually, the earth's furniture is trees.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Atonement means at-one-ment. Passion means suffer. Vulgar means common. Eternal means age, a period of time. Stereo means solid.
Solid?
Yeah, solid. Secular means age. Prejudice, in advanced judgment. Husband means householder. And so it just shows you that basically these are just examples of every usage that we have, and how we use it is the vulgar usage. The dictionaries today are not true to the word. They define the vulgar usage, how it's being used. And that's how it keeps changing and transitioning, so it has no root. It's not tied to anything, which is, when you get into in our own society, one place it is tied to is in the medical field. Mm-hmm. You have to. An appendectomy is always an appendectomy. But in everything else, it just goes off and just goes. And that's the same way with the word of Yahweh. In Hebrew, so what we've got is the English Bible translations use the vulgar usage, not the true usage of English words, rather than the true usage. So, let's see here, we got that, Appendix B. So this is so-called Christianity erasing the Old Testament. And so what is taught today, and these are all false, mankind is immortal, the immortality of the soul, false. Death puts you into heaven or hell immediately, false. Heaven or hell are our future homes, false. Judgment is upon death, not on judgment day, false. There are three gods, the Trinity, false. There is a God-man, Jesus, false. Incarnation, a spirit becoming flesh, false. God is in control. We know that's false. Unconditional love, not in the word. Man is three parts, spirit, soul, and body, false. You can add to the scriptures without retribution. False. There is no 1,000-year kingdom in Christianity, Christ's kingdom. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. False. There's no going to heaven in the Old Testament. Falling asleep, there's no falling asleep with the Christian. Everybody's dead or they're always awake. There's no falling asleep. You can talk to the dead. As you know, the Catholics pray to Mary. And if everybody's in heaven alive, why not talk to them? Right? Christianity does not talk about new earth ever. And there is no Yahweh in Christianity. And there's no Yahushua. And there's no the man Yahushua. He's been removed. So I'm going to show you some other things of so-called pseudo-Christianity. So our foundation must come from the Old Testament, the Hebrew, and not the New Testament, except in the sacred secret. So when we start going through our foundation, and every child of us all have to have a foundation because it's going to be tested. And if we can knock you, if it's the foundation of men, you're going to be knocked off. If it's the foundation of Yahweh, but it's not your foundation, you're going to be knocked off. And so here's just an example. I did a teaching on that Christ's mission on earth was 6 months or less. Right? So everybody could repeat that. Has anybody ever studied it? And just gone through every occurrence. So I did a paper, just you go through Matthew, you go through Mark, you go through Luke, and you just look at every other place. Because if you try to say that to somebody, they're going to push a button, man. You have no idea. What you're doing is you're just parodying something you've never even looked at. So it can't be, it's not yours. It's mine, but it's not yours. Because you didn't make it yours. And so with all this, a foundation means we made it ours. And here's just an example we do with etymology. Is this is good for the public too. You can get on your phone and say, I'll give you an example. Now, this is very handy if you want to see what words actually mean. So you can say to Google, etymology, awe. And it will tell you the root. And you'll see fear. So you can go every word, instead of saying define this, you can't do that, because if you do it, it's going to give you the vulgar meaning. And most of the time, that's wrong. And so to find out a true meaning, you can't go to the dictionary. Now, we can use that, but we have to tell people that's the vulgar usage. That's not the true meaning. Let's see here. So everything is in the Old Testament, and so the pseudo-Christianity today will actually always grab verses from the New Testament, not the Old Testament, and which will give an illustration. So all the foundation is in the Old Testament, except for what?
The sacred secret.
The sacred secret is not in the Old Testament. Everything else is. The whole story is in the Old Testament. So, we'll just begin with. Okay, people talk about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? One usage, and that's Matthew 28:19. Let's go to Genesis 4:6. Is Yahweh talking to Cain. So then the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost said unto Cain, would we ever even think of that? Now think of that. And so, well, that has to go. If that's who they are, how many times did Moses ever say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
Never.
Was there anybody in the Old Testament ever mentioned that? Never. Did Paul ever say it? Never. Did Matthew say it? No. Did Luke say it? No, Matthew did. That's the only place in Matthew. Luke, John, Peter, everything. But the whole Christian foundation, the pseudo-foundation, is on that term. But just insert Father, Son, and Holy Ghost where Yahweh is, and it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Spirit, soul, and body. And you'll hear this, the man, what they call tripartite, which is the three parts. You know, your body dies and your spirit, your soul leaves your body. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's interesting when people quote these, it's always at the other extreme of the word Yahweh. But let's look at Genesis 2:7. Yeah, no, we're not going to Thessalonians, but we're not going to go to the errors. And this is one usage again.
At the end of the book.
And it becomes a doctrine. And so 2:7, let's see what man is made of. And it tells us right here in Genesis.
2:7?
Yeah, Genesis 2:7. So then Yahweh Elohim formed man, the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the neshama of life, and man became a living nephesh. Very simply. There's no body, I mean, there's no spirit.
Neshama
soul.
Neshama is living soul. I mean,
that's the word, yeah. That's neshama. It's not ruach. And man's not a soul. Doesn't have a soul. He's called a living soul. So, very simply, no basis whatsoever. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. See, that's another one-line deal. People say when you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, this is great. That's 2 Corinthians 5:8. We're not going there. Let's go to Genesis 3:19. Well, let me just make an illustration. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Here's what you can do to people, and this is for you to instill things. So Cain came up to Abel and said, Cain, or Abel, do you know to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord? And I'm going to kill you. And so he killed him. And then Abe went to where?
Heaven.
To be with the Lord in heaven. Great.
He did
right
things.
Isn't that hideous? But that's what's taught. And so Cain actually did Abel a favor. Because instead of living 900 years on the earth, like everybody else did, he got right put into heaven immediately. So the first murderer, you know, put a righteous person in heaven. Well, what's wrong with that? That's Christianity. Now let's go to 3:19. That is what's taught in the church today. Pseudo-Christianity. Genesis 3:19. But one thing you're not going to hear is when somebody dies. 3:19, it says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, because thereof was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We all know that's true. That's what Yahweh says about when somebody dies, right? But pseudo-Christianity says, absent from the body, the present with the Lord. So they have created a whole little fiefdom of their own. It's not true. Now we go to the Bible came by way of the Holy Spirit. And so everybody says, where does the scriptures come from? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And that's 2 Peter 1:20. Let's look at Numbers 12. That's page 170. And this is all the way through here. And Melania, read it 6 through 8. Where's your Bible, Esther?
Over there.
Well, you can get it. Want to have
it's
it
right, it's over here. I brought it.
Okay, she can read it. Okay, read 6 through 8.
Chapter 13?
Chapter 12. Numbers 12.
Okay, 6. Okay. Then said he, here I beseech you, my words, when ye have your prophet as Yahweh in a vision, will I make myself known unto him. In a dream will I speak with thee. Not so my servant Moses, in all my house, trusty is he. Mouth to mouth do I speak with him, and plainly not in dark sayings. In the form of Yahweh doth he discern. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?
So who was talking to Moses? The Holy
Yahweh.
Spirit?
No.
No? Yahweh face to face. You know, what is this? But it's the same deal. They get the verse in Peter, and now I get the Holy Spirit becoming another entity that's telling me all the scriptures. That completely contradicts the Old Testament. Go to Jeremiah 36:4, page 757. So we have to be ever vigilant to know the scriptures ourselves, and so we can direct other people from this pseudo-Christianity 36:4. This is great. How did Scripture come? So Jeremiah called Barak, son of Neriah, and Barak wrote from the mouth of who?
Jeremiah,
all the words of what?
Yahweh.
Yahweh, he had spoken unto him upon a scroll. So Yahweh tells Jeremiah, Jeremiah tells Barak, and he writes. That's the same way with Paul. So we don't have to go there, but in Romans 16:22, the guy who wrote, the scribe who wrote Romans, identifies himself. He says, I wrote this.
Is this Tychicus?
T-R-T-I-U-S.
It's Tychicus.
And so he wrote it. Well, who gave it to him? Paul gave him the words. And who gave Paul the words?
Yahweh
through Mashiach Yahushua. Now, we go into our future home, heaven. And this is what really motivates me. On the radio, it's just constant and constant and constant. Heaven is no part of the Old Testament, period. Heaven is not our home. It never has been. It's the earth is our home. And how do you hear that from Christianity? Pseudo-Christian? Nothing. It's all heaven. So let's just begin in Genesis 1:26. Go back to Genesis.
What guy?
Genesis 1:26 through 28. Very simply, Adam means red. Adama is the Hebrew word for ground. And that's where Adam was taken from. And Eve are taken from the ground. We are terrestrial beings, not celestial beings. We're not designed. And it's right here in Genesis 1. And it's all the way through here, 26. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over the tame beasts, and over all the what?
Land.
The land. That's our job. That's our purpose. That's why we were made. And over every creeping thing that creepeth on the land. And Elohim created the man in his own image, and the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the what?
Earth.
And subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the bird of the heavens, and every living thing that moveth on the land. Foundation right in Genesis. Well, we're going to be in heaven. We just have a song. Heaven's, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Lord, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And it's all heaven, 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 heaven. Wrong, 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 wrong is what it comes to. Psalms 115, page 590. When the people came up to Yahushua, they never came up to him and said, what must I do to get to heaven? Just read all the gospel. What must I do to get to heaven? No, they would say, what must I do to have life, age of abiding? Well, I thought, we're going to see, everybody has life, age of abiding. Because man is immortal. The soul is immortal. And so it just becomes ridiculous, ridiculous. And you're just like, is monumental how many things that are wrong that are being taught under the name of Christianity when they're not under Christianity at all. They're actually doctrines of demons is what they actually are under the church teaching these things. 115:14-16, Isaiah.
What's that Psalm?
Psalm 115.
So I multiply you, and you and your children are ye of Yahweh, who made the heaven and the earth. As for the heavens belong to Yahweh, but the earth hath he given to the sons of men.
I mean, is that any clearer? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, the earth is man. We're terrestrials. Mm-hmm. Psalms 2, 7 and 8. Hey, what is the treasure for the Messiah, for Christ? Why did he die and suffer for all this?
Psalms 2.
What was the prize? And that's Psalms 2. Verse 7 through 8. page 529. Let me tell the decree Yahweh has said unto me, my son thou art, I today have begotten thee. Ask of me, and let me give nations as thy inheritance, and thy possessions the ends of the what?
Earth.
Heaven? I'm going to give you all of heaven. No, he's giving. Christ is earthbound.
Mm-hmm. Not at the moment.
Not at the moment, he's not. Now we go to Psalms 37, which we've gone through many times. And so we start examining, which we'll do a little bit, how do we get to heaven in the first place? Everything's heaven, 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 which is wrong, wrong, wrong. Everybody's immortal, which is wrong, wrong, wrong. You know, there is a hell, which is wrong. You know, I mean, think of all the major doctrines that are absolutely wrong. And it's not whether there was four crucified with Christ or two, or whether he died on Wednesday or Friday. These are monumental things. Hey, how do I get saved? Ask Jesus into your heart. Does it ever say that? That wouldn't get you saved at all. You got to make him your master. And which means you got to do what he says. Ask Jesus into my heart. Chapter and verse, where the heck is Jesus into my heart kind of? So what does that mean anyway? Yeah, just ridiculous. And that's when you go on the crusades with Billy Graham and everybody else. Ask Jesus into your heart. But Psalms 37, 9. If you want to know about our future state, and we should all have this memorized. When you're talking about heaven or hell, just take people to Psalms 37. That's all you need to know. Psalms 37. And it's never going to mention hell. It's never going to mention heaven. 9. For the evildoers shall be what?
Cut off.
But as for those who wait for Yahweh, they shall what?
Inherit
heaven. And so you tell people to shock them. And this is a good way to teach people. Remember, the meek shall inherit heaven.
Nope.
And everybody go, yeah. And they go, oh. The meek shall inherit what?
The earth.
Not heaven. Well, that's why it's all here. Now that's Matthew, let's see here. That's Matthew 5:5. Let's go to verse 11. But the patient oppressed one shall inherit what?
The earth.
22. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit what?
The earth.
How about 29? I don't know how many more times you got to say it. The righteous shall inherit what?
The earth.
34. Wait for Yahweh and observe thy path that he may exalt thee to inherit the earth. Wow. Hebrews 2, chapter 2, page 224 in the New Testament. Remember, these were all Hebrews. Who Yahshua talked to was Hebrews. Nobody's thinking of going to heaven. They were a promise. The land of Canaan. This is the promise that's in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, where Israel is going to get their land that was promised to Abraham. Not heaven. There's no heaven in their minds. Catch up with you. 2:5-8.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want to read that?
For not unto messengers hath he subjected the coming habitable earth.
And who's he talking about? Us. All right, go ahead.
Of which we are speaking. But one somewhere hath borne witness, saying, what is man that thou shouldest make mention of him? Or the son of man that thou shouldest put him in charge? Thou hast made him less, some little, than messengers. With glory and honor hast thou crowned him, and hast set him over the works of thy hands, all things hast thou subjected beneath his feet. For in subjecting to him the all things, nothing left he to him unsubjected. But now, not yet, do we see to him the all things subjected. But Yahushua made some little less than messengers.
Oh, we'll stop there. Okay. That's good. There it is. We are going to inherit the earth. And so once they came up with this metaphysical, which is not really a word, meta means above physical. And so even the word supernatural doesn't make sense. That's above natural. Well, we're not talking about anything natural. So the word super, we don't have words for this other sphere many times. Yes. So we have to use the Hebrew words and the Greek words. When we say supernatural, that just means really above natural. But it's still natural. But you can't have the word natural in it. Because it's not physical. There's no elements. Of, you know, there is no molecules there that we know of in this kind of world. So it's just good to start checking everything that people say, that we all say, and we go back to the Hebrew and Greek on this. We go to Revelation chapter 20. None of this is brought up. I was never taught this as a Christian. And this is Christ's 1,000-year reign on the earth. 4 through 10. I've got a lot of area to cover, so do you want to read 4 through 10, Wendy?
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and sentence of judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and such as had not done homage unto the wild beast or unto his image, nor had received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000 years.
And where's this going to be? This is on earth. Keep going.
The rest of the dead lived not until...
Wait a minute. How about the rest of the dead, nobody ever died? These other dead must be in hell or heaven right this moment. They're living right now. Well, wait a minute. It just said the rest of the dead lived not. Well, what's going on here? They've already been judged. So when you die, according to the church, you already judge whether you're going to heaven or hell. That was judgment day, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no, because then there's no white throne judgment.
Yeah.
There is no judgment day. You know, so there's judgment every day for everybody, which is just ridiculous, ridiculous. And now you go to 5.
The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon these the second death hath no authority, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And as soon as 1,000 years shall be ended, the accuser shall be loosed out of his prison, and will go forth to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, the Gog and Magog, to gather them together unto the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they came up over the breadth of the land and surrounded.
This is earth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Breadth of the land, we're talking about earth. These are mortal people. So this 1,000-year reign, there's going to be mortals and immortals. We're never taught that. Okay, we keep reading. 9.
And surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And there came down fire out of heaven and devoured them. Okay. And the adversary...
Right there, because they were killed. And so they have to be mortals if they're going to be killed. We're not talking about with a 1,000-year reign on earth, there's mortals and immortals. We're going to be the immortals because we've already been taken up with Christ. And we will never die again. These are mortals that are living on the earth, which we had another teaching on that a while back with a 1,000-year reign.
This is left behind.
Now we're going to go into the next reign on earth where there's not going to be any mortals. Because after the white throne judgment, which is in verse 11, if you're not written in the book of life, you're thrown into a lake of fire. Now death and Sheol are destroyed. Now another earthly reigns coming, and this is Yahweh, chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And remember, the word new is not new in origin. It's new in quality, which means you can use the word better. And so we got to realize too, and I'll be doing a teaching on this too. Okay, there are 3 renovated earths. They're not new earths, as we think of it. New, we only have one word for new, and new is brand new. But we know it's not that way, because if I have a new house that I just bought, that's not just built, it's not a new house. It was somebody else's house, but it's new to me. It has nothing to do with origin. But it's new to me, but it's not new, because the only new house would be the one that was just built. The Greek has two words. You know, one is naos and the other one is kainos. You know, one is new in origin, and that's naos, and kainos is always this. And so you could use a better earth, new in quality. So, and I saw a better heaven and a better earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now, we don't know about this place at all, because that is the future habitation of Yahweh and Christ, is Zion, which is in Palestine. It's a physical place. It's there. It's going to remain there the whole time. That's the where everything's going to be. Are we taught that in Christianity? No, we're off in heaven playing golf without bodies. And, you know, we're swimming and having a great old time. I like old Tom and Mick and everybody else. And, but you can't talk to them. You can't, well, why not? Hey, makes a lot of sense. If they know Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you put a good word in for me to Jesus? So I can talk to my grandparents or my great-grandparents. And Mary would be a good deal, Mother Jesus. And that's why people pray to Mary. Well, put me in a good word for your son. And that's called necromancy, which is speaking to the dead, because the dead are not alive. And the only time that actually happening was with who?
Saul.
Yeah, Saul went to, you know, went to the witch of Endor. Oh, great revelation. And obviously it's not Samuel, like Samuel was speaking. No, it wasn't Samuel was speaking. Samuel is dead. She's a witch, for goodness sakes. You know, Yahweh wasn't speaking to him. So Samuel can through a witch. Oh, this is
the witch is more powerful than Yahweh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and people take that a little
bit. Over Yahweh, you know. Let's go to the witch.
Yeah, you go to the witch. Oh, and that would encourage us to go to witches. Because, you know, Saul heard from Samuel. Was it good news? No, bad news. But this kingdom's coming down, because now Yahweh, now watch this. Look at verse 3, and I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, lo, the tent of Yahweh is with who?
Men.
Well, aren't men over there? Billions of people are already there in heaven, right? They're all, so there's not a tent with men. Watch it, and he will tabernacle with them. He's already tabernacling with them because they're all alive. And they will be his, they're already his people. And he will be to them a God. They're already his God. So see, it's just these scriptures keep contradicting my pseudo-Christianity.
Oh, that's what I'm
wondering. Here's John 3:16.
Tell me that.
For Jesus so loved the world, or unconditionally loved the world, that he gave himself, and that whosoever believeth on him shall not spend everlasting life in hell, but shall spend everlasting life in heaven. That's John 3:16, right? Never heard that?
No.
Translation. That's the translation of the pseudo-Christianity.
That's the vulgar translation.
Yeah, that's the vulgar translation. Nobody says, not Jesus, but they got Jesus as God, so if Jesus is God, he gave himself. He didn't give his only begotten son because he is the son. So he's God, so Jesus didn't give his only begotten son. He is. He gave himself. And that's what they'll say, God died on the cross. Well, that's how they completely wrap John 3:16. So just get people to say, well, yeah, I believe in John 3:16. For Jesus so unconditionally loved the world that he gave himself, that whosoever believeth on him shall not have everlasting life in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. And they'll go, isn't that what you believe? Isn't that what you're taught? Yeah. Well, let's just look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world, not unconditionally, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, be destroyed, but shall go to heaven. No, but shall have life, age abiding. Well, I thought everybody has life. If you're in hell, you have life, right?
Yep.
Not good.
You're alive. It's not a good life.
A hot life.
It's not a good life, but you're alive because it's immortal. Everybody's immortal. And I'm going a little bit long, but let me see here. So we've got, don't have time right now to go into it, but we go in Isaiah 65:17-20, we have the new heaven and earth also, which are mortals, because people are going to die. We'll say if a child is 100 years old and he dies premature, so we know at this particular restoration of the earth. Oh, I was back to, let's go back to the three renovations of the earth. So the first heaven and earth perished by water, right? So you created the heaven, we created the earth, it got overflowed by water. Genesis 1-2, right? The first renovation was Genesis 1-3. Let there be light, everything comes back out of the water. That is the regeneration, or the renovation, and it is a new earth. And not in origin, but in quality of what it was before. That's what we live on right now. This earth is going to be destroyed in Armageddon in the book of Revelation with fire and the sea is going to be blood and everything else. Guess what? There's going to have to be a restoring again. Because everything is fried. Right? That is the second renovation. And that's Christ's new kingdom, the 1,000-year kingdom. Alright? Then, mankind, but death is still there. So you got dead bodies, you got people fighting, there's mortals on that earth. Then these mortals, as the sand of the sea, attack Christ after Satan's left out. And what happens again? Fire, boom. Then we have one more renovation, and that's when Yahweh comes down and becomes king. And so that's a different kind of earth altogether, because we've got the new Jerusalem coming down on earth. But there's more than the New Jerusalem because people are actually entering the gates, so there's land outside the New Jerusalem. Very simple. That's right there before us. And that's, but there's mortals in Isaiah 65, 17, 20, and 66, 22. And that would be the new, which is Kainos, new in nature, not in time. Very important to know that. New in nature, not in time. Now, where do we get this heaven business? Well, the kingdom of heaven. The only place the phrase kingdom of heaven is ever used is in the book of Matthew. Never any other place. Now, let's look at the word kingdom. It's the word basileia. That's the Greek word basileia. And that's Strong's number 932. This is great. Basileia means reign and not realm. Not territory. It has nothing to do with territory. We see this very simply. Kingdom is the dominion of the king. Dominion is not territory. It is rulership.
Realm.
Yeah, and so in the old Oxford of like 800 AD, which I've got, the kingdom is exactly that. It's going to say rule, sovereignty, but it's not territory.
Yeah.
Now, if you look in the new dictionaries today under Google, if you say kingdom, it automatically says country, territory. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. Because when they're talking about the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdom of God, it's the reign of God. The reign of God is coming. And so Young's translation of the Bible, every word basileia is, he translates reign instead of kingdom. Because we know the word has changed in our mind.
Yeah.
We're using the vulgar usage of kingdom. Because to us, kingdom is land.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it has nothing to do with the land. That's not what kingdom meant. That wasn't what kingdom meant. It should have been king's land. If you said king's land, that means the king's land. That's territory. This is king's land. Well, where's the parameter? That's territory. Kingdom is the dominion of the king. It's not
it's
place.
The reign.
It's the reign. Reigning. It's the reign of the king. So we're always thinking of a physical deal. Well, they're in the kingdom of heaven. No, they're not. Let's see here. And we know of this in, guess what? Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Melania. Our Father.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Oh, what are we talking about? Thy reign come. Let's just change it now. Thy reign come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So wait a minute, his reign is in heaven, right? It's what? Is it not here on earth? No, because Christ is asking for it. Thy reign come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It's not here on earth, because they crucify his son, for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, if he was ruling, if Yahweh was, you know, in control, if he was reigning as a king, do you think a king would have allowed that? To crucify your son, do you think they would allow imprisoning Paul? If the king had any authority whatsoever, are we insane? To say that God's in control, are you insane? And like, well, another point, this is another thing. If God is in control, every evil event, he's an accomplice. He's an accessory to the crime. Because he knew about it and didn't stop it. So every evil in the world, that's what pseudo-Christianity is just done. Wow, you're talking about doctrine of demons?
Yeah.
To make the creator an accessory to every evil thing done? Wow, is that slanderous or mockery? That's pseudo-Christianity. That's Charles Stanley. They write whole books on it. God's in control, God's in control. And I tell Charles Stanley, well, then lock your door at night. He's in control.
Get rid of your
power. Oh, you lock your door, don't you? Well, I thought, then you're not saying he's in control, are you? I mean, just, come on, man. You're selling books. Okay, now, another interesting, what we know is will be done. Yahweh hath become king. You will see in, so he's not king now. Let's go to Revelation 11. Verse 16 through 17.
The prayer of our Father in heaven.
What?
The prayer of our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy reign come.
Yeah, it's all.
When we obey him, is that his reign coming? When we walk.
Yeah, your rulership come.
So when we obey him, that is bringing his reign.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's still thy reign come, and John the Baptist would go, repent, for the reign of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The reign of God is at hand. Yeah, it is. And that's called the book of Revelation, when Christ gets to open up the seals, the scroll and the seven seals. And guess what? They're kicking ass, is what it's coming down to.
He's opened up a can.
Yeah.
You said that.
Yeah.
Donkey.
Children here.
Donkey. Kicking donkeys.
Yes.
Okay, 11, 16 through 17. And the 24 elders before Yahweh did sit upon their thrones, fell down upon their faces, and rendered homage unto Yahweh, saying, we give thanks unto you, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, who is and who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hath what?
Become
king. Well, I thought he was always king. He's becoming king now because he's actually going to rule through Christ. You know, his rulership is coming into fruition. We see 19:6, chapter 19, verse 6. And I heard a voice of a great multitude, as a voice of many waters, as a voice of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, which means what?
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Because Yahweh Elohim of hosts hath what?
Become
king. Of what? He's already king of heaven, becoming king of the earth. Now we go into soul, and this is very interesting. If we can do this.
It's almost like a repo, repossession.
Yeah.
Repoing his earth back.
Soul, when you look at etymology on soul, they have no idea what the word means. It just says it's from German and from this, but we have no idea what it means. And that is a huge mistake, or not mistake, we should not use the word soul in what we're talking about. Because what we have is, in the Oxford Interdictionary, as it was being used in Beowulf and Wycliffe, the principle of life in man or animals, animate existence. Well, wait a minute here. We saw the man became a living soul. So if soul meant living, it would have been the man became a living, right? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Let's go to the first uses of soul, Genesis 1:20, and I'll go on. while you guys are going, keep going. The principle and thought of action and man, entity, distinct from the body. But this has nothing to do with the body. And so they're using, so some people will say, our minds, when it tells our body what to do, they're going to call that soul. Well, you can. That's fine, but that has nothing to do with the Bible and what people say about the immortality of the soul. Okay, I want to read 120.
Sure.
That's the first use of nephesh.
And Elohim said, let the waters swarm with an abundance of living nephesh, and the birds shall fly over the earth, over the face of the expanse of the heavens.
And so you see a living nephesh. Okay, well then, soul has nothing to do with life, because you would be living, living.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put the word living in front of something that says living, right?
Yeah.
So living nephesh. So when we look at this nephesh, we have to say that's what the word is. And that's what we say. And soul has no bearing. The English word of soul. So now we've got Google, and you say soul, define soul. The spiritual or immaterial part of a human being or animal regarded as immortal. No basis whatsoever in anything. But that is the Christian church. That's the pseudo-Christian church to say our soul leaves our body and that's what's in heaven. The New Advent Catholic says, ultimate internal principle by which we think, feel, and will, but by which our bodies are animated. If there be life after death, and this is very, if there be life after death, which means immediately when your body's dead, clearly the agent or subject of our vital activities must be capable of an existence separate from the body. That's necessitated. If you do not want to be in the dust for 2,000 or 4,000 years waiting for the resurrection, I don't want to wait there, so I make my own world and give an element called the soul, which leaves my body. Right. If there is to be life without a body, and so that's what they're looking at, what they're actually saying. If there's to be life without a body, we need soul.
Yeah.
For there is no life without a body. That's it. When you're dead, you're dead. And when you get a new body, you're alive. There's no connection. Yeah. There's no separation. When you're dead, you're dead. And when you're alive, you're alive. You're alive. You have your body. We're not messengers. Very simply. So it's a nephesh. And if you know, we go to nephesh, and they'll say probably to breathe, where the root comes from. And this is from a new Bible translation, but. Old world study. Reputable too. But if it's breath, you wouldn't say living breath because you can't breathe without breath in the first place. Right? So you can't have the word living in front of nephesh, and the nephesh to mean breathing or living or anything else, because then there's a redundancy. You know, you got an adjective in front of a noun, which is ridiculous. Completely messed up on that.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that people say that only humans have
soul. Yeah, that's right.
And here's
right
there,
yeah.
The fish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is the waters that we're referring
well,
to.
Well, yeah, it is all the way through. And we know no association. Yeah, it's always animals are living souls. It's like man are living souls. And so are we taught with that, with the pseudo-Christianity? We're taught just the opposite. And they'll actually not translate that soul to hide that intentionally. One last one, and this is life. The tree of life is ridiculous in the garden if we all have life. If we're all immortal creatures, right, with our soul, then what purpose does the tree of life have to do with anything because we all live? It should be the tree of heaven or the tree of hell, right? Where are you going to live this immortal life that you have? The tree of heaven or the tree of hell? Does that sound foolish?
Yeah.
Absolutely foolish. And it gets rid of the second death, so pseudo-Christianity has got rid of the tree of life, because they have to, because everybody's got the tree of life. I mean, there is no tree of life. That's ridiculous. And the second death is removed, because nobody ever dies.
Mm-hmm.
Permanently. Nobody's ever destroyed. You're either in hell being tortured or you're in heaven being tortured.
Your resurrection.
All men are immortal. No, just the death of the body. So all we're going to say is the death of the body. And this is great. I think Bolger said it good. The tree of life, he says, it's the tree supporting and continuing the life which has been imparted. So, instead of a one-time pick of the tree of life, that's what we have in mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. That's your life source. You always eat from the tree of life all your life. Mm. Now, because we're humans. We have to eat. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really neat in a book I'm studying on He says it's interesting on the body with children. As you grow, they can wear out pant legs, wear out jeans, but their skin keeps replacing themselves. It's like they're immortal.
Mm, yeah.
You're right. But there's a place where all of a sudden it stops, and the opposite starts happening, right? But if that never stopped, you would be immortal. Mm-hmm. Because everything's regenerating all the time.
Yeah.
And you never peaked. And so we just have that up, and now everything starts going on the opposite side. So, let's finish up in Revelation, the tree of life. And guess what they're going to be doing with it in chapter 22? To rethink our situation. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. That's on the earth. This is all Ezekiel, the New Jerusalem. This is the temple. Zion is our future home. Not heaven. And on this side of the river, and on that was what? Tree of life, bearing 12 crops. Why would you have to be bearing any crops? We're actually thinking of ourselves in earth that we don't have to eat. Because in heaven, nobody eats and nobody does anything because you're immortal, right?
Just play harp.
Yeah, well, but if you think about that, no, we're in the new earth, we're going to have farms, we're going to have factories, we're going to have children, we're going to live our life. But we're going to be eating right here, 12 bearing cross fruit every 7 months, yielding its fruit, and the leaves of the tree were for the what?
Healing
of the nations. And so it's going to be very simple. I think this is our life. We eat the tree. We eat of the tree of life as we need to, and we live forever. Very simply. And why he had to guard it was because I don't want you to live forever.
You got sin.
And so you got pushed out of the Garden of Eden and banished because you said no to the tree of life. And you would have, died in your fallen sin. But I think most of us, we're thinking about eating once and that's it. And that's not the case, I don't believe. I believe we're going to be eating of it because we're human beings. We're going to be immortal. And so we'll stop there.